instructions. Ani said be brief, so I just put four bullet points of who I am, so thank you so much for that very warm welcome. It's really my pleasure to be here this afternoon and to be part of this illustrious group of panelists. So I would just like to thank Professor Ani Villagic for organizing this panel this afternoon. I want to just tell you that I am going to be shamefully citing my own work, and I apologize for that, but I would like to give you an idea of how I came to some of the ideas that I'll be presenting. So an easy way for me to do it is to tell you what some of the prior work has been and what I think are some important directions for future research on the epidemiologic paradox, but also the association between acculturation and health outcomes among Latinos in the U.S. So I'm going to be really brief as far as what is the paradox, what are some of the hypotheses related to the paradox, and I really want to spend more of my time on directions for future research, and I would like to warn you that I'm going to ask more questions than I'm going to answer. We'll have a nice discussion on some of these issues after the panel session. So first of all, what is the epidemiologic paradox? Well, everyone knows from epidemiologic research that there is this inverse association between socioeconomic status and morbidity and mortality. And relative to whites in the United States, Latinos have a worse socioeconomic status profile, both in terms of education, income, and occupational prestige. So you would think that because of that, Latinos would have a higher mortality rate, but we don't. There is a lower mortality rate among Latinos relative to whites in the U.S. So what are some of the explanations for this paradox? A general class of explanation says that the paradox is real, that it's due to genuine differences in things like health behaviors, to increased social networks that help you when you're ill, or perhaps there are other protective factors that we just don't know about. But another class of hypotheses argue that this observation of lower mortality is plainly stated an artifact, and it's an artifact of migration, that in fact what happens is that some Latinos, as they become older, more ill, they go back home. So like the salmon who are going back home, Latinos go back home to Colombia or Argentina or Costa Rica or Mexico or wherever they're from. So what ends up happening is that we are rendered statistically immortal, because in the United States, you don't tally deaths that occur outside of the U.S., you only tally deaths that occur within the country. So what happens is the salmon hypothesis argues it's due to this return migration. There's also another class of explanations that have to do with the health of migrants who come to the United States. Who migrates to the U.S.? The argument goes, it's not people who are dying of chronic diseases, of cancer, it's people who are healthy, who are in search of economic and work opportunities, also known as the healthy worker effect. Now you can imagine testing these hypotheses are quite complicated. The salmon bias, if you were interested in truly testing the salmon bias hypothesis, you would have to trace hundreds of thousands of immigrants over 50 years, 20 years of time, and find out where they end up once they get ready to retire or leave. I certainly would not want to be the research assistant responsible for tracking people over 50 years worth of time, and certainly you're not ever going to get tenure doing a study that's going to take you 50 years. So what you can do is consider the different groups in the United States and what is the plausibility of some of these hypotheses. Well, what some colleagues and I argued is that for Cubans and Puerto Ricans, the salmon bias does not make sense, because Puerto Ricans are, as residents of the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, deaths that occur in Puerto Rico are tallied in U.S. health statistics. So if you still see a lower rate of mortality among Puerto Ricans, it can't be due to the salmon effect. It's got to be due to something else. Cubans are another interesting case. Cubans can go back home, but why would we want to? Because of political reasons, that's why most Cubans came to the U.S. And the political circumstances that exist in Cuba are the same as they were many years ago, and what they are still, that the push factors are still there. So if you still see that there's a lower rate of mortality among Cubans, you could argue it's not due to the salmon effect, because Cubans are not, quote, going back home. Another interesting group is U.S.-born Latinos, who you could argue are not subject to selection effects, and they're also not subject to salmon, because you can argue, as you live in this country, you establish social ties, you establish family relationships, and why would you want to leave those social ties to go back in a place where, you know, you've never lived to die or retire? So we argued that U.S.-born, also, it doesn't make sense that the salmon accounts for these hypotheses. Now, the healthy migrant, you can also talk about the U.S.-borns, because the selection is not operating in those groups. I'm going to skip through this really quickly, and you're going to have to take my word for it, because I'm not going to leave you enough time to really look at these data. But what we found is that for both men and women, looking at both Puerto Ricans and Cubans, the mortality rate was lower relative to whites. So this cannot be due to the salmon effect. What about the healthy selection, the healthy worker effect? Well, if you look at this first column, U.S.-born Latinos compared to U.S.-born whites, you still see lower mortality rates among Latinos. So this cannot be due either to the salmon or to the healthy migrant effect. Again, I'm going to slide right through this. You have to just take my word for it, or just look up a reference that I can give you a little bit later. So what we concluded from this study is that neither the salmon or the healthy migrant hypothesis account for these overall observations, and we think that other hypotheses might account for the lower mortality. But I have to tell you, I don't want you walking out of this room saying, oh my goodness, Latinos are healthier. Why do we even bother with health disparities research? Let's all just go back home. You know, let's give up. We don't need to do this anymore. These observations regarding the paradox really refer to overall mortality rates. But when you start looking at specific causes of death, you don't see those observations anymore. So for example, relative to whites, Latinos have higher rates of diabetes-related complications and mortality. There are also age and gender differences. Even within groups, there are differences. So for example, there's a higher rate of diabetes complications among Mexicans than there are among Cubans. So it's not as straightforward as you would think when you really start looking at different causes of death. So I really want to focus now on what are the other hypotheses for the paradox. And I'll focus on the health behavior and acculturation hypothesis, which relatively simply stated argues that Latinos have healthier behaviors relative to whites, but the longer you're in this country, the more that you acculturate, the more your behaviors mimic those of the host country, meaning Americans. And so is it true that Latinos have more favorable health behaviors relative to whites? Well, the data seem to indicate that it is true for certain behaviors. So for example, Latinos are less likely to smoke, to drink alcohol, and to engage in leisure time physical activity. But Latinos also have a higher body mass index. But it varies by gender, such that these observations are truer of women than they are of men. So there's some mixed evidence. So what about this hypothesis of acculturation, that the more you're in this country, the more your health behaviors mimic those of Americans? The assumption is that there are cultural norms that are responsible for these behaviors, and that the more you adopt these norms, the more your health changes. So I have to quickly explain what is this concept of acculturation. Acculturation refers very generally to the process by which immigrants adopt the attitudes, beliefs, behaviors of a host culture. And the assumption of most of the theories is that it's linear, that the more you stay in America, the more you adopt the norms, behaviors, attitudes, beliefs of Americans. So it goes one way. that the original culture gets devalued and you become more American. But there are alternative explanations that you could be a bicultural person, that depending on the circumstance, sometimes you could be more Mexican, sometimes you could be more American, and it all depends on the context. But how do you measure this concept of acculturation? It is really quite a challenge to measure what acculturation is. You can measure acculturation on the basis of language. How comfortable are you speaking English? How well do you speak English? You might be very comfortable speaking English, but no one understands what you're saying because, you know, you don't speak it very well. Or length of proportion in the United States, generation of your parents, behaviors, preferences, do you listen to Latino music, do you listen to American music? It is quite a complicated construct to get your hands on. So what is the state of the literature? Is acculturation bad for your health? I answer yes, but. Because the evidence is actually a little bit mixed. There's inconsistent support. As a matter of fact, acculturation seems to be associated with smoking, alcohol intake, body mass index, but also leisure time activity. So there's some mixed evidence, and it also varies by gender. So let me just tell you a quick example of a study that has found this. And again, I'm shamelessly citing myself and the work of some of my students. This slide shows you, it just focuses on the bold face, that for current smoking, alcohol use, BMI, and exercise, acculturation is associated with all of these health behaviors. But we really need to ask some interesting questions here. Why is this happening? What are the mechanisms by which acculturation is associated with these outcomes? Does it have to do with something related to belief, values? Why is it a risk or a protective factor at some times? What accounts for the fact that it sometimes is protective and it's sometimes not protective for your health? Other very interesting questions that very few people have asked. The differences between groups. Cubans are different from Mexicans, who are different from Puerto Ricans. The immigration context for those groups varies dramatically. There is a paucity overall of research that looks at theories that help to explain some of these differences. And I really think it's important for us to start asking these, not is it related, but why is it related? And what are the mechanisms that account for some of these relationships? So I'm going to just some examples of values that we never talk about. Respeto, cortesía. Familism gets a lot of play. Religiosity is another very interesting cultural value that there's not a lot of work in this area. And one of my favorites, this concept of fatalismo, that Latinos are so fatalistic, why bother taking care of ourselves, we're all going to die anyway. This is really a very interesting stereotype that we really need to ask more questions. Is fatalismo associated with health? Can this account in part for some of these observations? So I think I have maybe 1 minute left or less. I'm going to just show you an example of a theoretical model that perhaps we could start thinking about, just outlining what are some of the beliefs, the language barriers that might account for some of these outcomes, and how do these impact on a variety of health outcomes like breast cancer screening, mortality. So I think what I'm going to just tell you is that in the end, we really have more questions that we need answered, and we really don't know too much about the processes. And so I think it'll be important for us to start asking questions on what are the resources that help Latinos and immigrants do well in the United States despite a great deal of adversity and social circumstances that might be bad for your health. Thank you very much.